Our last story of the day might seem, at first, to be about a particularly obsessive baseball card collector who set out on a journey to meet some of the players he admired as a kid. But one of the things that baseball card collector found on his journey makes this story relevant to the news of the week. Here's Only a Game's Gary Wallach.
In 1986, when he was 5 years old, Brad Baluchian started collecting baseball cards.
I would buy the wax packs from the local pharmacy with a stick of gum. I had my favorite players, who were not the superstars. They were the more underdog-type guys.
Brad grew up to be a college professor who collected bugs instead of baseball cards. But in 2014, he turned his attention back to his childhood obsession.
The guys that I grew up following, I never really stopped thinking about them. I was always drawn to wanting to know the stories of those players. Where are they now?
Brad took his boxed-up cards out of storage and started formulating a plan to learn firsthand about players, or at least some of them.
So I thought a good way to get at this question of, you know, what happened to these guys that I grew up with would be to get a pack, and whatever guys are in that pack, those should be the guys that I would track down. I mean, that kind of captures the thrill that we experience as kids opening baseball cards, which was you don't know who you're going to get. And, you know, it's this series of surprises.
So Brad bought an unopened 1986 Topps pack on eBay. When it arrived, he removed the wax wrapper and popped the decades-old stick of gum into his mouth. He says it tasted delightfully gross. The pack included one player, Al Cowens, who died in 2002. But the remaining 13 cards were of living players, a group Brad calls a tantalizing mix of greatness and mediocrity. Brad Baluchian began planning a 49-day road trip for the summer of 2015. He would drive his 2002 Honda Accord from his home in Oakland, down the West Coast, across the South, into the Northeast, and back again. His goal was to have a meaningful conversation with each former player about their lives now. Brad's first stop was with Rance Mullinix.
Gracious, understated, humble, accommodating.
He also met with his childhood hero, former Phillies pitcher Don Carmen, and also with Randy Reddy, Steve Yeager, Jaime Kokenauer, Lee Mazzilli, Richie Hebner.
Guarded.
And Rick Sutcliffe.
Outgoing, extroverted, what you see is what you get.
The abstainers were Gary Pettis, Vince Coleman, and the famous and famously reclusive Dwight Gooden and Carlton Fisk.
I'm disappointed that Fisk was not willing to cooperate.
Brad managed to spend time with 9 of the 13 living players from his 1986 wax pack. But on his 49-day road trip, Brad had one meeting that feels particularly relevant today. On June 24th, 2015, Brad arrived in San Marcos, California, where Gary Templeton now lives. A few months earlier, Brad had contacted Templeton and told him about his plan.
First, I thought he was like a little cuckoo, and I didn't know if he was for real or not.
That's Gary Templeton. When the pair met at a local restaurant and began to chat, Brad says he was nervous because he wanted to ask Templeton about a controversy from his days as a player for St. Louis.
Other writers had asked him about it, and he seemed to not volunteer anything. So I just came out and said, I want to talk to you about the Whitey Herzog incident.
It's water under the bridge, but, you know, it's something that he wanted to know. So, you know, I just told him the truth on what I remembered from the incident.
Here's the story. In 1981, Gary Templeton was a 2-time All-Star.
There's a line drive in the right center. That's going to overspin. It'll take off and go to the wall. Durham will be waved. Templeton will end up at third with a triple.
Templeton was being paid more than any player in Cardinals history. But during the 1981 season, he hadn't been playing well. In late August, he went to team physicians.
And the Cardinal doctors told me that I had torn cartilage in my knee and I had sprained some ligaments in my ankle.
The Cardinals were leading their division and battling with the Dodgers for the best overall record in the National League when Gary and team doctors brought the extent of his injuries to the attention of Cardinals manager Whitey Herzog.
And Whitey told me, look, we're going to need you down the stretch, so I don't want you hurting yourself. So, you know, if you hit a routine ball and you know you out, just take your time getting down to first base because I don't want you hurting yourself.
On August 26th, the Cardinals hosted the San Francisco Giants. In the first inning, Gary struck out swinging on a curveball in the dirt. The ball got by the catcher, but Templeton didn't run to first base. The Cardinal had committed a baseball sin, but he says he was just doing what his manager had told him to do.
Of course, the fans don't know that. Their perception is that he's just being lazy and he's loafing.
Gary returned to the dugout.
I mean, the fans start booing me and screaming and yelling at me, and I'm like, what the heck is going on?
A group of particularly abusive fans had moved to the front row. Some were screaming the N-word at him.
Whitey was right there watching the whole damn thing because they was closer to Whitey than to me. They're throwing ice and all kinds of stuff at me, and that's when I stuck my hand up and flipped them off.
Templeton wouldn't tell me exactly what else they said.
He didn't want to tell me either. But according to reports, the hecklers continued from the stands. In the third inning, Gary had had enough.
And I was telling them to bring the out here on the field and whatever, and that's when I grabbed my crotch. And the home plate umpire noticed it, and Bruce Froman threw me out of the game.
Gary walked back to the Cardinals' dugout amid a torrent of abuse. When he arrived, Whitey Herzog grabbed him by the jersey and violently pulled him off the field and down the steps. The story made national headlines.
And the way that this is depicted in the press the next day is that Templeton got booed for being lazy, and then he just flips out and, you know, starts flipping off the crowd. What is not included in there is a description of all the horrible racial things that were hurled at him by the fans. And what especially upset Templeton was that Whitey Herzog, the other players, they also heard what was being said.
I don't know why nobody's never said anything about it, but they was right there. The two bad boys heard the whole thing. Later on, they was like, yeah, Gary, we heard it, but we couldn't say nothing. They were saving their jobs.
When the story was reported in the papers, Gary says only one half of it came out.
So, you know, they were just going by what Whitey Herzog told them. And, you know, and whatever Whitey said, I guess back then was gospel.
Gary was suspended for 3 weeks and fined $5,000. In order to return to the team, he was required to undergo evaluation.
And then they put him in this psychiatric ward for a while, trying to analyze what was wrong with him and diagnose him. And this is where Templeton basically says, I was in there playing ping pong all day. There was nothing wrong. But essentially, in order to rejoin the team a couple weeks later, they had to have the company line, which is that he was depressed or he was struggling with, you know, some kind of chemical imbalance. And he basically just towed the line and said, okay, fine, if that's what I need to do to get back on the field, sure, I'm depressed.
Brad Baluchian says Gary didn't want to go into the details of that stay.
And I think largely that incident stained his legacy for the rest of his career, which is so unfortunate because, again, when you know the whole story in the bigger context, it's just terribly unfair that that's how it went down.
Gary Templeton was traded to the Padres after the 1981 season. He played another 10 seasons and even made an All-Star team for the third time in his career. As for the incident on August 26, 1981, he says he's not proud of it, and he doesn't like talking about it.
I moved on. I mean, because nothing good ever comes from hating on stuff that you can't change, so I just move on in life.
Following his playing days, Templeton coached and managed for 2 decades. These days, he golfs and spends time with his grandkids near San Diego. 5 years have passed since Brad Baluchian's 49-day road trip, and he's had time to reflect on what he learned about pro ball players.
To some extent, I was still seeing them through the 8-year-old's eyes. But the things that were most impressive about them now are their ability to be vulnerable and to be open and to share some of their struggles. Collectibles are nice, autographs are nice, but you know, it's not about the object. It's not about the baseball card. It's about now knowing the actual human beings that are depicted on those cards.
But of course, Gary Templeton already knew that.
Major leaguers are people. They're human beings. I mean, they got hearts too. They hurt.
That story came from Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Brad Baluchian wrote a book about his road trip. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife.